This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Friends, freethinkers, and country men and women from Madison, Wisconsin, and around the world. Thomas Paine said, "The world is my country, to do good is my religion." I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the September 15th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. It's produced and broadcast right here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we broadcast in other cities, including Atlanta, Columbia, Missouri, in Grand Rapids, Monterey, California, and other places. And, of course, we podcast.
And Ithaca. Don't keep leaving out Ithaca, Dan.
Oh, Ithaca, New York. Okay, well, and who knows where else in the natural cosmos people are listening to this show.
Freedom From Religion Foundation produces Free Thought Radio as a weekly production. And FFRF is a nonprofit, as in 501c3 educational charity, and also a nonprofit, as in we have no prophets, creeds, no Bible for us. And we work for the separation of church and state, and we have over 18,500 members in North America who are atheists, agnostics, and other forms of unbelievers.
Today, on the second half of our show, our guest will be Lorena Rios. She is a board member of Hispanic American Freethinkers, and we'll be talking about Hispanic nonbelievers, especially since this weekend, September 16th, is the Mexican Independence Day, and today, September 15th, the birthday of one of the presidents, a freethinking president, Porfirio Diaz. So we're going to talk about not just Mexico, but Hispanic freethinkers in America from all over the world.
And where is Lorena from?
She was born in Chile, actually.
But for now, we're going to be talking about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's very significant inroads ending state church violations in public schools. We don't just talk about it, we act. And we have four staff attorneys working very hard to end violations without
interns.
Yeah. And working very hard to end state church conflicts without having to go to court to uphold the very good law we already have, for example, keeping religion out of public schools.
So in a minute, we're briefly going to mention about 30, if we can get them all in, recent victories just done by letters without going to court. But first, we have to make a comment about that horrible attack on the U.S. Embassy in Libya, which left the ambassador, American ambassador, and three other Americans dead at the hands of a mob said to be incited by a Christian right 14-minute video trailer, as the New York Times put it, in an almost comically amateurish production, which was then translated into Arabic and then viewed by more than a million people in the Muslim world on YouTube. And I was curious about this video, so I went online to find it. The Innocence of Muslims, it's called, which I think was a title to try to draw Muslims into seeing this. And it's a very, very amateurish. It's so funny. I mean, if it hadn't been for the seriousness of what happened to it, you'd just be laughing at how silly. It's like junior high school actors, bad costumes, horrible acting, bad lighting and backdrops and weird phrasing and all that. And if you do look at it, you know, you might laugh with me, but to think about the damage that religion has done, not just in the Muslim world, but the Christian world also, which is hoping to incite these kinds of feelings among believers. So it's like a 14-minute. Let's just listen to a little bit. What's happening here is there's this older Jewish woman who says she's 120 complaining about this God that's so bad. And so you'll hear the noise. They laugh at her, and then they tie her to two camels, and they tear her apart. So this is just
who's
about,
they? It's supposed to be the Muslims? It's
supposed to be some of the Muslim followers of Muhammad.
Who are hurting her.
What God is this? that is such an oppressor and so unfair to the people.
Whomever refuses to follow Islam have only two choices, pay extortion or die.
Well, yeah, it is laughable, but so look what happened.
Well, look at the Christian Old Testament as well, and Jewish scriptures in that. There's talking snakes and talking donkeys and food falling from the sky. But then look at the genocides that are also within the Hebrew scriptures. So religion is a laughing matter, but it's also very sad.
Now, Coptic Christians at this point seem to be implicated, and a Christian man from California, a Vietnam War vet, whose son apparently was severely wounded in Iraq and is notorious for his anti-Muslim actions. And there are others involved in this low-budget movie, apparently employing actors who didn't know what the purpose of the video was.
And some of it was actually badly overdubbed. You can see their mouths moving.
Yeah, so what we're seeing in English isn't necessarily even what the wording was in Arabic, of course. So, as usual, religion has a lot to answer for.
So now let's move on to some FFRF victories. A big victory for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The University of Tennessee in Chattanooga has dropped prayers at their football games. And this is a little clip from 6 News. In Knoxville, Tennessee, they were worried about the fact that they stopped in Chattanooga, and they're thinking, oh no, are we going to be next? So this is 6 News out of Knoxville talking about this issue.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kristen Farley.
I'm Gene Patterson. Tonight, some students at the University of Tennessee are ready to fight for their right to pray.
At 6, we told you the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga banned the public prayer before football games because of a complaint filed to school officials. Well, some fear a ban may be coming to Knoxville's campus next.
The complaint that was sent to school officials in Chattanooga came from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They told us they received a local complaint that caused them to send a letter back in May. They say it's rare they get complaints about universities, but that's not keeping UT students in Knoxville from speaking out on this issue. Students at the Baptist Collegiate Ministry on UT's campus had strong reactions to the banning of prayer at UTC.
Disappointed and kind of puts a little bit of a rage inside of me, to be honest, of what I just don't think is appropriate.
But on the other side, students at UT who belong to the Secular Student Alliance feel the decision was right.
In order to have separation of church and state, public schools do not need to be having prayer at these public events.
So will public prayers at Neyland Stadium be banned next?
Unless someone local contacts us, we don't go seeking for violations.
Stephanie Schmidt, the staff attorney for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, says right now they have no complaints from anyone in Knoxville.
It's possible. We haven't talked about it directly, but that may come up at meetings in the future.
If they actually do come here and start and try to take away prayer at UT, I'll probably be the first one running around signing a petition to try to get it put back.
We reached out to UT officials here in Knoxville. They declined our request for interviews, but say as of right now, there is no discussion in stopping public prayers at Neyland Stadium. Freedom From Religion Foundation officials say there is no way legally they can pursue a case unless a local person contacts them. Live in the newsroom, Josh Ault, 6 News.
Now, we have been contacted since that news story ran, of course, and a letter's going out to Knoxville. And I also want to thank it's a new club, the Secular Student Alliance in Chattanooga, got on board with our complaint. It's really important for students going to their own universities to go public to complain about prayer. And in the Sixth Circuit, encompassing Tennessee, Kentucky, some other states, the precedent is completely with us against prayers at sporting events at public universities.
And I know a lot of Knoxville freethinkers. We have a lot of foundation members who live in that town, too. In another Southern public school victory, FFRF prevailed last spring in stopping football prayers in public high schools in Tallapoosa, Georgia. That's over in the west by Alabama. Since prayer was absent from the first game of the fall season, there's sort of been a mob reaction, but the Freedom From Religion Foundation's victory is holding firm. And here's a segment out of Atlanta, CBS Atlanta News, that gives you a little bit of the flavor of what's happening in that town.
For some people, high school football is a religion. but sang a prayer before the game could land an entire school district in court.
That is a reality that Harrelson County High School faced if they continued their tradition of praying over the loudspeaker before the football games.
Tonight, thousands of fans rallied in support of public prayer and sent a message to the group who filed the lawsuit. We're going to pray anyway. CBS Atlanta's Mike Peluska was in Tallapoosa in Harrelson County working on this story all day. Mike explains how the prayers continued tonight without any fears of lawsuit.
There was a huge showing of support here at Harrelson County High as the Rebels took on their rivals, the Red Devils, but there was also a difference in the air. They could not pray over the PA system, and that has been a problem for many of the people here. Earlier, we spoke to the people who made that complaint and got their side.
For senior son's holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Prayers before the first game of the season for Harrelson County High were not silenced. They just weren't allowed to be said over the loudspeaker.
We're going to follow the guidelines of the Constitution.
Superintendent Brett Stanton made the decision after they received this letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Frank and Sarah McIntyre's complaint to the organization started this whole firestorm. The couple's son plays football on the team. The McIntyres say they don't have an issue with people praying.
The only thing we were seeking was for them to remove the invocation from the PA system.
Most of the fans are still angry and wore t-shirts to support prayer.
I am upset because I think that our God-given rights are being taken away as well.
It's a prayer for safety, a prayer for help for all parties on the field, for no one to get injured.
The Harrelson County principal, who has been on the job for 1 month, says the prayer isn't to push religion on anyone. But the McIntyres say over the years in some games, the message has gone too far.
Did you feel uncomfortable with some of the religious themes that they were giving out?
With some of them, I mean, most of the time the invocation wasn't just a protect the players invocation.
In the end, the game still went on.
There's tails. What's your call?
Tails.
And prayers turned to what you'd expect at a game. But there was one thing that will never be silenced over the loudspeaker, and that's what makes us all American.
And the home of the brave.
Since the school system made the decision not to pray through the PA system, fans said they're going to change their ways. They will continue on every home game to pray during the moment of silence. We're in Harrelson County. Mike Peluska, CBS Atlanta News.
Now, in another Georgia victory, our staff attorney, Andrew Seidel, has gotten Ridgeland High School in Walker County to agree not to have a team chaplain, to agree that the coach can't pray anymore with the football students, and to, when he takes them to church for a pregame prayer meal with public transportation, the ministers can't pray over the kids anymore. So we're still negotiating with the school about some of these remaining violations that we're very concerned about. But that's gotten huge play.
Is it Alabama across the
No, line? No, that's Georgia. That's Walker County, Georgia. So there's a lot going on. We have also stopped Georgia football prayers going on in Doherty County Schools. That's Alabama, Georgia. And that was where a Fellowship of Christian Athlete member would give post-game prayers at the football games. FCA rep Bill Cox would gather the team up and the coaches and tell them to kneel, and included several references to Jesus's crucifixion, or as Andrew Seidel put it, fiction, F-I-C-T-I-O-N, thanking the Lord Jesus for dying on the cross to save us for our sins. So in August, the superintendent wrote us that these practices are inconsistent. The Freedom From Religion Foundation stopped Alabama graduation prayers. We got confirmation in the last month that East Limestone High School in Athens, Alabama, would stop doing invocations and benedictions. That's another win for Andrew Seidel.
Seidel.
We had a senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, stopped prayer at Kentucky graduations in Mercer County High School. That's in Frankfort, Kentucky. The prayers were listed on the program. The prayers made references to Jesus Christ, and one ended with a genuflection, and we received word this summer they would stop that unconstitutional prayer. The Supreme Court has spoken on prayer in public schools. You cannot pray in classrooms, over the PA system, during sporting events or at graduations, or even student-initiated, so-called, over the PA system. We halted Bible distribution in a Georgia school, Thomasville, Georgia, that's Thomas County, where they were allowing the Gideons to come in and announcing over the intercom that Bibles were being handed out. We got confirmation that will stop. A Mississippi school district told us they will stop daily pre-lunch prayers, and this was a very egregious violation involving elementary school teachers and small children. And staff attorney Stephanie Smith wrote in May and got confirmation late this summer they will stop this egregious violation. We stopped pregame prayers in South Dakota. Castlewood, South Dakota School District will no longer hold pregame prayers after an FFRF complaint in late May.
Finally, a state that's not in the South, South
Dakota.
Right,
Andrew Seidel. And we also had video, YouTube, showing the personnel leading the prayers before sporting events. We got confirmation in August they'll quit. Here's another non-South violation. Rebecca Markert's three letters of complaint about 2011 graduation prayer in Mogador, Ohio, have borne fruit. And the prayer was given by the class treasurer. It was listed on the program, and they said they will stop that. She also stopped prayer at Community College in Peralta College, Oakland, California. A staff member was using a prayer on her email that she was sending to students, and it said, "By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone," as her official email signature. And of course, that's a violation of district policy. We stopped that. I don't want to miss anything else. We had...
You're reading from the next issue of Free Thought Today, basically.
Yeah,
some of the headlines.
Mississippi teacher, a U.S. history teacher in Raymond, Mississippi, who brought Truth for Youth Bibles for the class to take, will not be able to distribute Bibles any longer after a letter from Stephanie Smith, one of our attorneys, in late May. And they're going to be watching her. We also stopped prayer at a Michigan school, Hastings Area School District in Michigan, when Stephanie Smith wrote a letter. They what had been going on was graduation prayer for at least 10 years, and it was in the program, and they selected a student to lead the prayer, and they assured us late this summer that will stop. So it does pay to complain, and we'll have more violations in non-school to report in non-school environments coming up in segment two.
And in segment three, we will talk about Hispanic American freethinkers. I'm Dan Barker, and I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're co-directors of the Free Thought Group, Freedom from Religion Foundation, which broadcasts Free Thought Radio.
Annie Laurie, before the break, was reading some of the headlines of some of the victories, which you can read in the September issue of Free Thought Today. And there's too many, I think, to get into this show, but we'll continue.
Yeah, we had 30 victories in the last month that without having to go to court.
Our legal staff has been very, very, very busy, mainly stopping prayers, it seems like, football prayers, school prayers. And here is a victory about prayer at a senior center, not high school senior, but senior center. Employees at Peach County Senior Citizen Center in Fort Valley, Georgia, were regularly leading residents in prayer before the meals. They were playing Baptist hymns on the piano and reading from the Bible to celebrate any event or special day, according to the complaint. So Andrew Seidel wrote a letter, and we stopped that. In Tennessee, a church trailer was just left on the property. FFRF filed a complaint in July to Maury, M-A-U-R-Y, County Public Schools in Columbia, Tennessee, about a trailer from Wellspring Christian Church that was permanently parked next to the sign for the Spring Hill Elementary. The church uses the school for Sunday worship services, and we think we need to keep an eye on that because they should be at least paying rent, and it should be a fair practice when outside groups use the school, but they shouldn't have a permanent trailer established. Another really big victory, and this is in New York, a Freedom from Religion complaint got a cross taken down. We received a complaint last spring from a New Yorker who reported that a science teacher at Public School 76 in Queens was displaying a cross on the wall next to the blackboard, and it said, "Love God." So Rebecca Market wrote a letter of complaint, and that was stopped. Well, I can't read any more of these.
But you can join FFRF. You should be persuaded we are getting things done at FFRF.org, and then you'll get Free Thought Today and read all about it. And
coming up, we'll be talking with Lorena Rios, who's on the board of the newly formed Hispanic American Freethinker. She has a great story to tell, a very interesting person, so stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll learn more about Hispanic Freethought.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
Yo soy Daniel Barker, y este es Radio para Libre Pensadores. I'm Dan Barker, and this is Free Thought Radio. And that is the Mexican National Anthem, the Himno Nacional de México, celebrating the fact that September the 16th is Mexican Independence Day. That goes back to 1810, when a priest named Hidalgo made that famous grito, the cry for freedom. Since then, Mexico has grown a lot, and Porfirio Diaz, by the way, who was a freethinker who ruled the country somewhat like a king, although he did bring Mexico up into the 19th century, brought it into the modern world.
He was a secular, anyway.
He was a secularist,
mixed
yes.
bag, but he was secular.
Yeah, he was a non-believer. And there's a lot of...
It was his birthday. It was his birthday today.
September the 15th was his birthday. So the world owes a lot to the Hispanic world, Spanish-speaking Latin American world. And today we're going to talk about Hispanic American freethinkers. Are they all Roman Catholics? Are they all believer? According to the ARIS, American Religious Identification Survey, which was released in 2009, 15% of Americans were identified as non-religions. But among Hispanics, the percentage of nones, those choosing no religion, had grown. In 1990, 6% of Hispanics said they were non-religious. Today,
In the United States.
Today, it's 12%. So during those two decades, the number of non-religious Hispanics has doubled. And so that's kind of following the national growth trends. Well, today we have on the phone with us a board member and founder of this new organization called Hispanic American Freethinkers. Lorena Rios, along with David Tamayo, are on the board of this new group. And Lorena is a very interesting person. She is a successful businesswoman. I had too much peanut butter for lunch. What do you do when you eat too many peanut butter sandwiches? Lorena was a successful businesswoman. She founded and ran a company. She's now an executive director. She has degrees in planning and an MA in planning. She's got many high-level degrees. And she and others are really concerned about the image of Hispanic Americans. So, Lorena, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you very much, Dan, Annie, Laurie, for asking me to participate in this program. The first thing that I want to say is that Latinos is not a one faith-based community. And I think if we start from there, we are able to understand a little bit more the dynamics of the Hispanic American community.
So what's the difference between Latinos and Hispanics? Is there a difference or do you use them the same?
Generally speaking, they are used... on the West Coast, you talk about Latinos, and on the East Coast, you talk about Hispanics. Many, but generally speaking, according to the Pew Hispanic Center, people or Latinos, Hispanics do not have a preference. So you can address them by Latinos or Hispanics.
Or either one. They both refer to the Latin language or the Spanish language. So.
Yeah, Central America and South America, that's what it refers to.
It was nice to meet you. You and David came into our building. Was that in July, in June?
I also want to take the opportunity. There was a very nice lady there that she gifted me a T-shirt, and I was wearing the T-shirt the other day, and it says Infidel on the front. And a guy in the street stopped me and high-fived me, so I thought that was cool.
Now, Lorena, you're from Chile, and what is your family's background, and what was your religious background?
Well, my parents, they were never very strong church-going people. However, as they've grown older, I've noticed that there is a much stronger religious influence in their personal lives. But growing up, besides the fact that I attended a Catholic school all my life, there wasn't any type of intentional, powerful brainwashing by my parents.
So you were lucky.
I was lucky, but I did have plenty of brainwashing in school.
Now, when did you realize you didn't believe?
Well, I think the realization came that I had always been an atheist. It wasn't that I became an atheist as I was growing up, because when I look at my actions, my beliefs, or lack thereof, you know, everything goes back to the same thing. I did not believe in anything. I was always running away from school during religious classes. I was always being suspended because of it. I was doing anything but religion. The time that I recall exactly, but that was more like a reaction to something that I said, this is not my cup of tea, is that one time I was in a religion class, and this nun, she was talking about the apple, Eve, and this and that, and I kind of looked at her, and I'm going like, meaning not true, and she slapped me so hard that, you know, at that time I figured, you know, thank you, you just woke me up. I don't believe any of this, and since then it just progressed to more and more.
What is the typical religious viewpoint in Chile? I mean, is the country almost completely Roman Catholic, or is there?
Well, you know, I've lived out of Chile for most of my life, but the way I recall it, people call themselves Catholics, but these are the worst Catholics that I've seen in my life, because they don't go to church, they don't participate in any Bible study classes or any activities of that sort. Now, what I do notice, and I did notice this a couple of years ago, I have a friend that every time that he goes by a church, he, you know, kind of bows his head and says a few words. And I thought that was interesting, because I have known him for over probably 35 years, and I have never, ever seen him going to church. So I just don't know what the deal is. And I think a lot of the people do that.
Yeah, it's a
kind of brainwashed.
A custom or something.
It's not really something that they do because of belief, but it's something they do because that's the way they do it, and they never question. That is something very embedded in the Latin American culture, that they do a lot of things because that's the way they've been taught, or that's the way they've done it all their lives.
Well, that seems to be a basic human characteristic too.
But I think because, you know, we are a very colonialistic group of people because of the way we were conquered and the power that Spain exerted over us, I think it's much more marked in the South American and Central American countries than perhaps in other countries.
So you started a group, you and some other Hispanic Americans, Jafri. Tell us the website, and tell us a little bit about why the group started and what you're doing now.
Okay, well, Jafri is H-A-F-R-I, hree.org. It's a Hispanic and American Freethinkers website. And the reason we got started is because I've always felt very lonely in my position as a non-believer. I should say as a vocal non-believer, because, you know, I got to a point that I don't, you know, I don't announce it, but I don't hide it anymore. And I do stand up when people try to impose their morals, or they try to police, you know, my life according to their morals.
So, or they assume that you're just a good Catholic woman. You know, they make that assumption about you.
Absolutely. They assume that I'm a good Catholic woman that likes to have many, many children, which I don't. I have one and I have no interest in more. You know, that, you know, I am very submissive to my husband, which I'm not. We all,
good for you.
We both, you know, we both have our own ideas, our own perceptions. We agree sometimes, most of the time, but we also disagree. And, you know, we both have our own standing on opinions, and we all have our own opinions. And I see, you know, when people address me, I don't look to him for an answer like some Latin American women do. And I'm not saying that this is the general rule, but I see them, if you address them, they look at their husband and like, well, my husband thinks this. I'm like, I'm not asking about your husband. I'm asking about what you think. So, you know, I think that's, and in some subsets of cultures within the Latin American community, that is worse than in others. In Chile, I think in all Latin American countries, there is a very hidden percentage of women culture.
Oh, there's something wrong. Hello?
And express themselves. Yes.
Oh, something went out with the vocal, but that's okay. You're back.
Okay, yes.
Now, so what is the message that your new organization kind of wants to broadcast then?
And how many countries are represented too?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what we want to do, we want to concentrate on education, because we are hopeful that the younger generation of Hispanics in the United States do have the ability to challenge and question ideas and traditions and everything that needs to be reviewed and questioned once in a while, so you can evolve in the right direction. If there is no questioning and there is no challenging of ideas, then you don't progress. And because of the numbers of Hispanics in the United States, it's very important that we start doing this yesterday. So, you know, that's our message. We're trying to get in, we're trying to work together with schools, with teachers. We love to get young people involved. And we welcome all the countries. We have I think we have every single country working with us, or at least talking to Hafri at this moment, every single country in Latin America.
Lorena, we have to take a break right now, but we'll come back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Geller. We're talking with Lorena Rios, who's on the board of this newly founded Hispanic American Freethinkers. A little bit of Mexican music here, Las Mañanitas.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller.
And we're continuing our conversation with Lorena Rios, who's the founder and board member of Hispanic American Freethinkers. And Lorena, you're the perfect person to run a new group like this, because you've run nonprofits and you've run successful businesses and you've been on boards, and so you know what you're doing. Tell us a little bit more about Hafri, and what do you want from the organization?
Well, right now, what I want for the organization is, you know, first of all, let me tell you that I'm very grateful that both of you guys extended the invitation for women to, for Hispanic American women to come to the to your show. There is a lot of conversation out there. Hispanics this, Hispanic that, Hispanic women this, Hispanic women that, but they never ask women to be present in any type of event. And that makes our outreach to other women and to young girls very difficult. And on top of that, because HAFRE is a young organization, we need to raise funds to be effective in what we do. No matter whether you are running a business or a nonprofit, you need to have the funding to accomplish your goals.
Can I join the group? Is that a group that I could join?
Sure, sure. You know, we don't discriminate.
Okay.
So, you know, we love to have you guys. You know, we have a history of, at least on our part, of visiting your office, and I think we are all going for a common goal. We have a common goal. And but at the same time, I want to ask your audience and anybody that is out there that is willing to make a donation to HAFRE, please feel free to do so. We are a 501c3 organization, so that money is not going to go to waste. And we are going to start posting our taxes online and everything, so everybody's welcome to check what we're doing. Right now, we have very little funding, close to zero, so things not impossible, but difficult and very slow.
And your official language of the group is actually in English. So it is English,
but we do bilingual. But we do, our official language is English because we are in the United States and we are Hispanic Americans. We are not Argentinians, Chileans, Mexicans. We want to, you know, unite all the subsets of the Hispanic culture. We're already a broken community. We don't really want to broken us any farther than what we are. So, you know, we welcome everyone, you know, and we understand that there are going to be differences, but if we have the common goal of thriving and living in a dogmatic world, I think that's the common denominator.
Well, you know, I wanted to do a shout out to a young Hispanic woman who was the first to be part of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's new PR campaign. We're just getting it off the ground. It's billboards and other kinds of ads. This is what an atheist looks like. And our member, Grace Quiroz from Nashville, we chose her her idea for a billboard and put that up last spring. But she said the reason she came up with that billboard when she moved to Tennessee, very conservative, is whenever she would identify herself as an atheist in these very heavily Christian communities, they would say to her, they'd be shocked that a Hispanic woman was an atheist, and they'd say, "You don't look like an atheist." So her slogan, "This is what an atheist looks like," is what we're using in this now in a national campaign to show diversity.
Right. Well, you know, I think I know Grace, and I think she's a very good example because she looks very Hispanic, and she's absolutely right when she says that people assume that because you're an atheist, you're going to look somehow different. I just don't know how we're supposed to look, you know. But unfortunately, that's the perception from the outside. But so it is very useful that she took she participated in the creation of that billboard, and we hope that will attract to other people. You know, when we have the table at the ACS convention or at the in the mall in Washington D.C., we had many young people approach us, and they are desperate for guidance. They want to be able to relate to their parents and tell them, you know, I'm not a believer like you are, but I'm still your son, and I'm still, or your daughter, and I'm still a good person. And I think right now there is a disconnect between the first generation and the younger generation, parents and children, because parents, you know, they come up with this very strong religious faith, and then they have children that they want to expand and go in a different route, but they don't have the communication in there to be accepted, and some of them really sounded kind of scared of coming out. So, you know, that's where HAFRE wants to have a place that we provide some, maybe perhaps suggestions on how to do it, and or we educate parents as well as children that it is okay. We don't look any different. We are not immoral people. We have as much moral or more than the people that claim to be moral. So, you know, it's a very delicate situation, especially within the Hispanic community, because religion has gone unquestioned for so many centuries.
And then all the relatives, too. Most of these freethinkers have relatives who are churchgoers, or they expect them to be praying at Grace. And
now, Lorena, I have read that second and third generation Hispanics, you know, people who are new to the country, they're the most religious, but their children and their children's children are pretty much the same as the rest of the population, which is close to 15% non-religious. Is that your experience?
I think it takes a couple of generations where you see the numbers to change a little bit. I've checked the numbers with the Pew Hispanic Center, and the tendency is that they become less religious. However, they become less religious, but they don't ever say anything. So it's very difficult to find out, really find out how non-religious or less religious they are, because they never come out and say, you know, I'm not like my parents, because generally the parents or the old generation tends to ostracize the younger generation in some of those countries if those children come out and say that they have this different set of beliefs or lack.
Well, we're out of time. Lorena Rios, thank you so much for joining us from Hispanic
American Freethinkers.
HAFREE.org.
Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering our show. This show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. We can find out more at ffrf.org/radio.
Join us at ffrf.org. You can also phone 1-800-335-4021, but just go to our website. Tune in next week for more broadcasting and irreverent radio.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.